Welcome to this intermediate Ableton Live 12 lesson on building a roller pad build with macro controls for jungle and old school DNB vibes. In this session, we're making one of the most useful tension tools in drum and bass, a pad that doesn't just sit there, but actually moves, breathes, and pushes the track forward. This is not about a huge cinematic wash, it's about a functional, sample-driven atmosphere bed that can build energy over 8, 16, or even 32 bars, while staying out of the way of your breakbeats and sub. That's the renal mindset here. In jungle and roller DNB, arrangement is all about motion and contrast. If the drums are busy, the atmosphere needs to be controlled. If the bass is heavy, the pad needs to be smart. So we're going to build a rack using Ableton stock devices only, then map a set of macros that let us shape cutoff, width, movement, grit, reverb, and release all from a handful of controls. First, start with a source that has character. For this style, don't begin with a polished synth pad preset. Go sample-based. Load a short musical sample into Simpler or Sampler. That might be a chopped chord from a soul record, a detuned stab, a resampled pad from your own track, or even a grainy VHS-style texture with a chord tail in it. The key is that it should already feel a little imperfect, a little lived in. If you're using Simpler, set it to classic or one-shot depending on the source. If the sample is already in time, keep it clean. If it needs help, use warp carefully, but don't overprocess it. You want something tonal and emotional, but not too bright. A good starting move is to transpose it slightly if needed, maybe 0 to plus 3 semitones, just to shift the mood darker or more emotional. Then trim the sample to the strongest tonal section. If it's too open at the top, low pass it a bit right away, somewhere around 500 Hz to 2 kHz depending on the sample. That immediately puts you in the jungle zone. And that's the first important teacher note. Sampled material has harmonic imperfection. And that imperfection is part of the vibe. That's what makes it feel old school. You're building tension from texture and memory, not from sterile shine. Once the source is playing musically, we're going to turn it into an instrument rack so we can control the whole thing with macros. Inside the chain, place your stock devices in a practical order. Start with EQ8, then Auto Filter, then Chorus Ensemble or Flanger for some subtle movement. After that, Saturator for a bit of edge, then Reverb, and if needed, Utilitied at the end to keep gain and width under control. Here's the basic idea. Use EQ8 to high pass the pad around 120 to 200 Hz, so it stays out of sub-territory. Use Auto Filter to control the main tone, with a cutoff somewhere in the mid-range to start. Add just a touch of chorus or ensemble, not enough to smear everything, but enough to give the sound some life. Drive the saturator gently, maybe 1 to 4 dB at first. Then send the pad into a reverb, with a decay of around 2.5 to 6 seconds, and a modest wet amount. Utility helps you trim the gain and manage stereo if the rack gets too big. Now group the whole chain into an instrument rack and add at least 6 macros. This is where the fun starts, because now the pad becomes playable and arrangement friendly instead of just being a static sound. Macro 1 should be your main tension control. Map it to auto filter a cutoff. This is the macro that opens the build. At the low end, keep it pretty muffled, maybe around 300 to 800 Hz, and let it rise gradually up to several kilohertz by the top of the automation. Don't rush it. In jungle and old school DNB, a slower opening often sounds more musical and more serious than a giant EDM style sweep. If you're automating over 8 bars, let the cutoff rise steadily at first, then accelerate the movement in the last couple of bars. That staggered phrasing feels more natural. It's like the pad is waking up, then leaning forward right before the drop. Macro 2 should handle width and stereo energy. Map it to utility width, and also to the wet amount on chorus ensemble. Start narrower, maybe at around 70% width, and expand it toward 140% by the top of the build. Keep the low end cut out of the pad so you can widen the top safely. If there's any boxy low-mid buildup around 200 to 400 Hz, cut that with EQ8 instead of widening it. That keeps the sound big without making the mix cloudy. This is one of the best tricks in DNB. A wider pad makes the breaks and bass feel like they're happening in a bigger space. It gives you immersion without stepping on the sub. Macro 3 should be your movement macro. This is where you get that classic jungle instability. Map it to chorus amount, a subtle filter movement amount if applicable, and maybe a tiny bit of pitch variation if your source supports it. Keep it gentle. You want the feeling of worn tape, sampled atmosphere, and slight unease. Not a huge wobble. Think of it as internal motion, not obvious modulation. Macro 4 is your grit control. Map this to saturator drive, and if you want, a little bit of soft clip. You can even add redux if the sample can handle it, but keep it subtle. In a pad build, dirt should be felt more than heard. It should add pressure, not turn the pad into a lo-fi mess. A really effective move is to automate this grit macro only in the last 4 bars before the drop. That way the pad starts to feel a little more broken up and tense right when the track needs it most. Macro 5 should control reverb space. Map it to dry slash wet and maybe reverb decay or size. Start with more space in the earlier bars, then pull it back before the drop, so the drums have room to hit. You can also use a little pre-delay to keep the pad clear. If the build starts getting washed out, darken the reverb tails so the atmosphere stays smoky rather than shiny. And here's a really important arrangement point. The last pad hit before the drop should often feel a little drier. That little reduction in space makes the drums arrive with more impact. Macro 6 is your release or pullback control. This one helps the build get out of the way cleanly. Map it to reducing reverb wetness, reducing width, and slightly lowering filter cutoff at the very end, or even dropping utility gain by a dB or 3 right before the drop. That little bit of disappearance can make the drop feel much bigger. This is a classic DNB move. The build should peak, then step back just enough for the kick, snare, sub, and bass to own the moment. If the pad stays too wide and too open at the drop, it eats into the punch. Now, once the rack feels good, try resampling it. This is where the sampler mindset really pays off. Record the macro automation to a new audio track, or freeze and flatten if you're committed to the sound. Then chop the audio into phrases or little fill moments. You can reverse the final swell into the drop, slice a tail for a quick transition, or stretch a one-bar movement into a whoosh. That's very much in the jungle spirit, because now the pad becomes source material for arrangement, not just background texture. A lot of people think of pads as something you just hold in the background, but in DNB they can be part of the rhythm of the track. You can cut them around snare hits, use them under fills, and create little moments of tension and release that support the breakbeat. When you place the pad in the arrangement, think in sections. In the intro, it can be filtered and quiet, just giving the track some atmosphere. In the build, automate cutoff, width, grit, and reverb so the energy rises. In the final bars before the drop, make it brighter, a little dirtier, and a little drier. Then at the drop, either remove it completely or leave only a tiny tail. For a jungle or old school roller, that dropout can be especially effective. Let the pad sit with the breaks in the tension section, then pull it away when the drums hit. That contrast makes the track feel raw and alive. A few common mistakes to avoid here. 1. Don't start with a sample that's too bright. You can always open it later, but if it starts too shiny, it's hard to make it feel authentic. 2. Don't let the pad fight the sub. High-pass it properly and check the rack in mono. Keep the true low end elsewhere. 3. Don't overdo the reverb. More space is not always more tension. Sometimes a darker, tighter pad build feels way stronger. 4. Don't make the modulation too extreme. In drum and bass, small changes over time often sound more professional than massive sweeps. 5. Make sure the pad has a job. Is it intro atmosphere, 8-bar build tension, or pre-drop lift? Decide that first, then automate toward that purpose. If you want to push this further, try layering a filtered noise bed under the pad, maybe with operator or a noise source and simpler, or create a parallel distortion return and blend it in only during the last 4 bars. Another great trick is to make the pad slightly darker than you think it needs to be. In DNB, restraint often makes the drop hit harder. You can also split the rack into 2 layers if you want more control, one chain for the body of the chord, and another for airy texture and upper harmonics. That way you can widen the top without smearing the core, or duplicate the sample, and move the start point so you have a second layer with a different harmonic focus. That creates an organic, evolving sound without needing a whole new source. For a really classic touch, try inverse macro moves. For example, when cutoff opens, slightly reduce reverb wetness. Or when width increases, slightly lower drive. Or when grit rises, roll off a touch of top end. Those contrast moves make the build feel shaped rather than random. As a practice exercise, build 2 versions of the same idea. Version 1 should be clean tension, a sampled pad source, high-passed around 150 Hz, moderate reverb, and slow cutoff automation over 8 bars. Version 2 should be darker and more jungle, same source, more saturation, a slightly narrower starting width, more aggressive movement in the final 2 bars, and a resampled chopped fill at the end. Loop each one against a breakbeat, a sub note, and a mid-bass phrase. Then mute the pad and bring it back. Ask yourself which version leaves more room, which one makes the drop feel bigger, and which one sounds more old-school and sample-driven. That comparison will teach you a lot. So to recap, start with a sampled source, build an instrument rack around it, map your macros to cutoff, width, movement, grit, reverb, and release. Keep the low end out, and automate the pad in phrases that support the arrangement. Then resample it so you can use it like classic jungle source material. The big idea here is simple. In darker DNB, the best pad builds are not the biggest ones. They're the ones that are controlled, textured, and purposeful. If you treat the pad like a groove glue layer and a tension engine, you'll make your breaks feel deeper, your drops feel bigger, and your whole track feel more alive. If you want, I can also turn this into a timed voiceover script with section timestamps and exact pause cues for recording.